Thank you for coming back. It's always encouraging for the preacher. And as you know, we're in a series. We began last night. We're looking at the things of the Holy Spirit. And those things which the Holy Spirit brings to us. Now, some people believe that we are given gifts. I want to make it clear that the gift is the Holy Spirit. And so what we think about as gifts are actually outworkings or ministries of the Holy Spirit which we have received in our lives. And I also suggested last night that when God equips his church, he gives us tools to do the job he's called us to do. And I believe there's a lot of leaking pipes around, a lot of broken engines in garages, a lot of fused plugs around the home, because people haven't got the tools to do the job. I don't know if you are like my wife, but she wouldn't know one end of a plug to another. I don't know what she doesn't know what she'd do if I wasn't around, because all these things need us to know what we're doing. Is that true? We are men and women and young people. How they've all gone. Gifted by God. And a particular picture comes to mind, a story. It was my privilege many years ago now to be responsible for what we knew as the summer conference. I guess many of you would have attended it. I picked it up when it was in Derbyshire. It was handed to me by a lovely brother called Jack Kelly. He was a doctor in Ockham Heath House. And he, I don't know how I got the job, but anyway, I got it. And it was my privilege to organise a conference for two very distinguished gentlemen. One we knew as Mr. North, and the other was somebody we used to know as Norman. Well, he's still around, actually. Norman Meaton. A remarkable man. I guess he's going to come and visit you again. Did you meet him after he got healed?
Yes.
Wow. What a change. Walked into one of our elders' meetings in his tracksuit and trainers, and you thought, well, you're over 80, man. And just shared his amazing testimony of how God had spoken to him the word. You know his story, of course, don't you? How he, for years, had this tremendous crumbling of spine and pain, and all happened on mission, of course, in Brazil. I think it was there in South America. Somebody gave him this huge bunch of bananas, which he carried into a boat, and he ripped something, and he was in pain for years and years and years. He went to surgeons. He had a lovely surgeon. He used to talk about this man. He said, well, look, I could do the job for you, Mr. Meaton, but you're going to have 6 months off. He said, I can't have 6 months off. I've got to go to India, I've got a wedding to attend, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. And he said so. In the end, he decided he didn't have time to have the op. So he just trusted God. He just left it with the Lord. He wasn't, you know, he was still taking his painkillers to keep himself pain-free. Anyway, one day he said, I woke up and God, reading the scriptures, it was his habit, of course, daily reading, and the Lord spoke to him out of a word, I think it was Jeremiah if I remember, that he would heal him. And there's the living proof. God did it. And it was a lovely time, and I got him to share the testimony. And then I followed that by Derek Harrison's testimony. I said, Derek, share yours. You know, he lost his wife after 50 years of marriage. They prayed. September, she had the operation, pancreatic cancer. It's all gone, they said, it's all gone, you know, and it's, you think, well, praise God, November, it was more in there than there was in September, died in January. And you think, well, this is a great mystery, isn't it? How these two things, side by side, lovely brother Derek Harrison, I guess you had him down. Well, he's on the radio apparently every day. Mike Coles, his New Life Radio, still runs. And we need to know, don't we? We need to understand. Anyway, the story I was going to tell you was in this conference back in Derbyshire was of a woman. And if you have responsibility, you kind of look out for things, don't you, and spot things. I'm nosy like that. And I saw this lady, young woman, in her 20s. After every meeting, she's there responding. And so I asked her why she kept, what was she doing? You know, why are you there? She said, I'm trying to get born again. I said, what did you do yesterday? She said, well, I went to get born again. No, and that was her life. She wanted God so much. And anyway, I just felt to say to her, and it's proven to be right. I said, you don't need to get born again. You need to know how to receive God. You need to know how to receive. And if you'd met her family, you'd understand why she had no feelings. Her father was a brute, a man who just belittled her. She was, in fact, the first, when she came, well, she moved down from the north to come and join us in fellowship. It was a joy to have her. And we got her a job and those sort of things. And you know, one day a young man liked her and he said, I love you. What he said, I love you. And she just fell apart. She finished up in hospital. They thought she'd got epileptic fits and all those sort of things. She just could not handle the concept that someone loved her. And anyway, we sorted that out and managed to. In fact, Jack Kelly was so helpful to me because I would make all these medical diagnoses and I think, well, I wonder if that's right, you know. Because I didn't think that she had epileptic fits. She was just totally in shock that someone would love her. Anyway, time went on and then another young man came on the scene. He said, I think I like. I said, you be careful. I said, last time someone said they loved her, she fell apart. Anyway, he did take his time. He moved at the right time. They got married, had four children, and even their children are having children. Isn't it wonderful? But you know, it's all on this gift that God has given to us. And I think, you know, I talked last night about receiving the Holy Spirit. And if you're like me, you really make a bit of a dog's ear of it, you know. You know what you've got to do, but getting it in to this realization that Peter was sharing this morning was a big battle for me. And I think that there are keys. I think one of them is to accept, one, that God loves you. You have to do that. You must not think that you are one of those people that will never get into all these things, because God wants to bless you. And a lot of it is related to background, experience, things have happened, things that we don't know anything about in our lives, and we might need a little bit of encouragement along the way. And, you know, one of the gifts that God gives the church is the gift of pastoral ministry. So if you're struggling on anything that I might say say last night or today, well, seek out the gift. Someone who understands, someone who listens, someone you can share with, and you will be amazed and discover what God has for you. So we were reminded last night that when Paul wrote this book to the Corinthians, he really wrote it on the basis that they were having some difficulties. Church difficulties. How many haven't experienced them? they abound, don't they? Crises abound. And I suppose in one sense that's the nature of the church. It would be all right without the people. Often they say, if you find a perfect church, don't join it because it won't be perfect anymore. But I think a lot of it is, as I was saying yesterday, it's our tradition and our understanding. And some people have written off these wonderful gifts of God because that's how they were brought up. And we looked at that. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12. I also reminded us last night that the book of Corinthians is God's revelation to you and me on how to function in our ministries together. And of course, a very small part of our ministry is this meeting. It's a wonderful part. And if you're like me and you're part of an organised, well, I say organised church, but a more established church like we are in Bexhill-on-Sea, basically church life is on Sunday mornings between 10:30 and 12. After that, it disappears till next Sunday between 10:30 and 12. And it's completely alien to us, isn't it, of those who've grown up in one another's homes and in one another's hearts. And it takes sometimes, well, it's taken us, are still people I don't know, and I've been going to the church for 5 years. And I said last Sunday, you know, I looked at those people on the platform doing the communion, and I thought, well, half those people I don't know. But some I've got to know, and I suppose the meetings, the ladies' meetings, and the house groups, and our prayer times of times to get to know people, and they're wonderful times. So, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is going to write to us concerning spiritual things. All right, spiritual. We said last night that the word gifts is not there in the original, and I think it's there because Paul doesn't want us to get distracted by thinking that when we come in to know the Lord, he gives us a gift. I have the gift of the word of wisdom. I have the gift of knowledge. I believe that as men and women of God, we need all the gifts all the time to do the job that God has called us to do. And you guys, I reminded you as I was praying that in Ephesians it says that we are saved by grace and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. We are his workmanship, created unto God for good works. So we could at any time, day or night, yes, day or night, pick up the phone, have a caller, 4 o'clock in the morning, I've had many, just wanting help. And sometimes people ring up and say, I'm in a telephone box, I'm drunk, I can't get home, what can I do? I said, wait there, I'll come and get you. Right, drive up there, pick them up, bring them back, sitting on, put them in my lounge on a settee. And then usually about 5 o'clock in the morning they've gone. They've probably woken up sobered and they've decided that they're a bit embarrassed. And one young teenager, many, many years later, I think only probably 40 years later, actually said to me, thank you ever so much for not telling my parents. It's our ministry. You know, the ministry is not that man or this man. It's you. You have a ministry from God. So the Holy Spirit introduces us to the ministry of God. And therefore, we need to understand what these gifts and ministries are. And I want to, you know, share it perhaps a little wider than we just read in our scriptures, because all these gifts were in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can read through the Gospels. We know that they were in the Acts of the Apostles. We can read some of these wonderful things that we've mentioned already. Peter coming into the temple, seeing a man lame, and he looks at him. The man's asking for alms. Really, what he needs is legs. Just checking that you're awake.
I've not heard that before.
And he says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I'll give you. What a wonderful gift. You know, it's like having a bank balance of, you know, well, just put a figure on it. So what's the new Rowling going to cost? 106 billion, you know. And just drawing it out for the need. No, I've got this need. You know Donald Trump. I mustn't get onto Donald Trump, but I will. Many years ago, he was in his limo driving down the road, and his chauffeur had a burst tire. And so the chauffeur's standing out there looking at this burst tire. And he just doesn't know what to do. He's just completely at a loss. And anyway, a driver comes down the road, in America, of course, and he passes and he looks and he thinks, I'll go back. And he says to the chauffeur, are you having trouble? He said, yeah, I've got a burst tire. He said, have you got a jack? He said, well, I don't know. He said, well, open the boot. And I opened the boot, and there was the spare wheel and the jack. So he said, well, come on, I'll give you a hand. So he wound up the car, took off the burst tire, got the tire out, put it on. He said, there we are. I said, oh, thank you so much. He said, do you want to see who's in the car? So the window wound down, and there was Donald. He said, thank you, you know. He said, have you got a card? This is what Donald said. He said, I'd like to send your wife some flowers. Right? So he gave him his card, and 3 weeks later, well, a couple of weeks later, whatever it might have been, a big bouquet of flowers arrived at the door, and a little note on it saying, we've paid off your mortgage. How about that? I don't know whether you like him, but I like him for that anyway. So, here's 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spirituals, brethren, right? Keep this in mind, that when we talk about the gifts, we're talking about the things that relate to the ministry that God has given to us through the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. You and I have received the Holy Spirit. Now, as I say, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, it is for you. You won't become a maniac. You can do, if you want. You can be, because even in the Bible, you know that there were people who could move in gifts and they were not the Lord's. We mustn't be worried about the people who are not. We must always be concerned about the people who are. We are. We are of God. And we have received of God. He said, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that You were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You know, our language changes, doesn't it? When we become the Lord's. We have a new disposition of heart. We become part of the life and ministry of God. He says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now, keep in mind that this is all. Are you one of all? Are you a... We are, aren't we? We've got to assume that when he says all, he means all. That means me. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Right. Now, when the angel came to Mary, and I also mentioned this in my prayer, I mustn't keep praying things I'm going to say, and said that you were going to receive, she was going to be the mother of our Lord. It must have been quite a, I don't know, challenging situation, you think, you know. And she simply said, how shall this be? He said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and that which is conceived in you will be of God. And she said, what did she say? Be it unto me according to your word. In other words, she said yes. And so we have nine gifts here in Corinthians. But we have other gifts in other writings of Paul. So let me read Romans, back in Romans chapter 12. To build a picture of all these wonderful gifts that we have received, and then we'll look at some of them together. Hopefully by the end of the day, all of them. For I say, through the grace, this is Romans 12 verse 3, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God hath dealt to each one a measure of faith. You know, some of these gifts do demand tremendous faith. You know, there's some really serious issues out there in people's lives. And I think sometimes we forget that we have to begin just the little things. You know, like praying for someone to sleep better. Did you sleep all right, Bill? What time did you wake up?
8 hours, thank you.
But we received it, didn't we? It's not life and death. It's not. But we have to learn. We have to grow. How do you grow in the Christian life? Well, you grow in the Christian life by doing the next thing that you do for your age. Most of us have had children, and you know, we taught ours how to speak, we taught ours how to walk. We spent time with them. I trained my boys to say daddy immediately. But what it was wonderful joy, and they said, dad, 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 that's my boy. My granddaughter used to say to me, hello grandma, where's grandma? But she knew which grandma she was talking to. But do we think, write them off? It's all part of growing. How are you growing in your Christian life? So it's the measure of faith. As we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, individual members, and individually members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, or he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So all these are part of this package of gifts. There's probably about 20 in all, if you were to look at Romans, Ephesians, Peter adds some, and at the end of this chapter in 1 Corinthians 12. But this is the reason why we have these gifts, and Ephesians puts it clear. It says this in verse 12 of chapter 4, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what church life is for, isn't it? That every one of us in this room, part of the church here at Rora, can be one in Christ. Every one of us. And that all the issues and needs of our lives, of our families, can all be worked out together prayerfully. There's lots of keys, aren't there? Prayer is a big key, of course. You ask and you receive, so the scripture says. It says from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So if you were to look just primarily at these nine gifts in Corinthians, you would discover that they break down into three particular sections. Now, I borrowed that from a book called Spiritual Gifts. And if you can get hold of a copy,
I've got a copy.
It's easy to read, actually. Don't worry about it. And of course, I also noted that on Ron Bailey's Bible-based website, it's on there as an e-book. So, but I do encourage you to read it. I found it. Somebody sent it to me. In fact, I said last night that two things happened to me before I embarked upon this course of studies. One, somebody sent me a CD called The Church just before I was driving down to the south of France. So I listened to it all the way, didn't we? We listened to all the way there and all the way back. And it's Mr. Null preaching what he was writing in that book. I think the Lord was saying something to me. And we really enjoyed, I like him anyway, he's my father in the faith, and I honour him for all that he was in his life. I'd be proud to be called his son in the faith. And he says that the first three are wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Wisdom is the key to the three. The second one is faith, gifts of healing, and miracles. And the third, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. And as I was saying yesterday, it's important to realize that these gifts are not just meeting gifts. These are life gifts. These are gifts that we need in our everyday lives as we meet men and women. We need to know the answer to their needs. And I can think back in my own personal pastoral life, and I can think of people I remember a couple coming to me, an older couple, and they sat down in my study and they were saying, she was very upset, he had been unfaithful, and they were going to split up. What do you say? What's your answer? I knew I was on a hiding for nothing, because if I supported one side, I would have lost the other, and if I supported them, I would have lost her. I've experienced it. You know, you think, well, I'll support, and one will storm out. I've been involved in a number of difficult situations. And the Lord gave me a story. I don't know what the story was. And I was rabbiting on about this particular thing that came to my mind. And as I was talking, I saw them change. And they looked at each other. And they both said, well, that's me. Because as soon as they both realized they were wrong, the situation was resolved. And they said, oh, no, that's me. I'm sorry, dear. I'm sorry, really. No, it's me. It's me. No. No. Resolved. Didn't have to pray with them. Didn't have to talk about their responsibility and, you know, honouring what the Bible says. Oh, thank God for the word of wisdom. You know, Solomon, he was a man. We call him the wise man, but I don't think he was that wise. Because he started off life with the daughter of Pharaoh. You remember right in the beginning? Even before his first revelation, when God said to him, ask whatever you will and I will give it to you. And he thought, well, I'm going to lead your people. I want to be a wise and understanding man. And it says God was pleased with that decision. But of course, he had started, I think Peter, you might have mentioned it too, when we abandon everything to follow the Lord. He took Egypt with him in Pharaoh's daughter. And in the end, you know that he, what did he have, 700 wives and 300 concubines. And the scriptures adds in one of those great buts, but Solomon had many wives. Now, well, that was an understatement, wasn't it? And they took his heart away from God. He was a naughty boy. And, but, God gave him wisdom. He had two ladies come and visit him. They had been sleeping in the same situation, both had babies, one had been overlaid by the other, and the mother who'd lost her baby swapped her dead child with the living one, and they brought it to Solomon. Must have been part of his, I don't know, working household, I guess. And she said, no, that's mine. No, it's not. That's mine. And so on. So he says, bring me a sword. And of course, the one whose baby it really was said, no, no. I was quite fortunate. I was responsible for quite a few meetings of men and women, or boys and girls, young people, I should say. I was privileged in my tenure in Eltham to marry 45 couples. I think I've done my little bit for marriage. Anyway, I met this young lady, lovely young lady, Christian family, joined us in fellowship. And one day as we were gathering in our home, we're sitting around the table, I saw her look at this man, and I saw that man look at her, you know. I knew something was going on. And so they went out with each other, as they did. They began to build a relationship together for some months, and then one day he came to me and he says, "I'm calling it all off." And I was upset with him, this young man. And I said to him, "Why?" He said, "I just don't know. I just don't feel it's right." I said, "Well, I'm not accepting that." I said, "You go home, you get down on your knees, you pray and ask God to give you an answer that will satisfy me." You know what? He went home. He got down on his knees before God. He wept. And he discovered that there was something in his past that stopped him moving forward with this young lady. He came and he repented of his sin. And immediately it was broken. It's the word of wisdom. You know, we were talking about handkerchiefs last night. Well, Smith Wigglesworth, of course, was often involved with marriage problems. A young man who once loved the Lord, it says in the story, and married to a fine young woman, but after a time the young man backslid. His marriage deteriorated to the extent that he'd left his wife and moved back with his mother. The situation was difficult for the mother and greatly distressing her. Smith Wigglesworth said to the lady, "Give me your handkerchief." When she did, he put it between his hands and said, "Lord, smite this young man with conviction." Handing the handkerchief back to the woman, he told her to put it under the young man's pillow and not tell him about it. You ever try that one? When the lady got home, her son was gone. He wasn't gone out for the night, I expect. So she did as Wigglesworth had told her. When the son returned, the hour was late, the lady was already in bed. After being home a while, the son went to bed. As soon as his head touched the pillow, he came under terrible conviction. Hastily, he got out of bed, fell on his knees, got right with God. Then he dressed, called to his mother, even though it was midnight. "Don't worry, Mum, I'm going back home. See you tomorrow." And away he went. When he got home, he and his wife had a glorious reconciliation. Numerous marriages were saved through Wigglesworth ministry, but always through miraculous means because his approach was not tactful. The Secret of His Power by Albert Hibbert. Have you read any of Smith Wigglesworth books? We're now reading his morning devotion. Sorry, Les, but we've switched from you.
By Albert?
Hibbert. Okay. Secret of His Power. But he's got a book about that thick, just on his writings. But he has a book called His Personal Devotions, which has a chapter each day and a scripture. So we've been enjoying that. Jim Cimbala, I guess you've heard of him. He began church life as a young man in a small church, and he became convinced that the secret of the ministry lies in the church prayer meeting. He now leads a church called Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. And this is his personal story. He talks of a personal test which engulfed him and his wife for 2.5 years. He said, he and his wife went through the darkest 2.5 year tunnel he could imagine. Our oldest daughter, Chrissy, had been a model child growing up, but around the age of 16 years began to stray. There were many nights we did not know where she was. He tried everything, begged, pleaded, scolded, argued. Nothing worked. She hardened more and more. Her boyfriend was everything when we did not want. We did not want for our child. For months he struggled in leading the church, counselling. Then Carol needed an operation, a hysterectomy, and then the devil began to tempt her. You and your husband can go ahead to reach the world for Christ, but I'm going to have your children. I've already got the first one, I'm coming for the other two. Carol's response was to pack up, leave New York. We cannot bring up our children in this atmosphere. Eventually, Jim persuaded Chrissy to talk to a minister who rang him to say, Jim, I love you and your wife, but the truth of the matter is Chrissy's going to do what Chrissy's going to do. You don't really